Man, I will never get tired of seeing something like this right here. These are students that are on fire for Jesus. I'll tell you, when you enter into the presence of Jesus, you guys can have a seat. I'm sorry, I got emotional in the back just watching that happen. Like, when you enter into the presence of Jesus, it changes everything, church. Like, the presence of Jesus has changed these students' lives. This is not a temporary one-week thing. Like, this has changed the trajectory of their life. And if you don't believe in the next generation, I hope that today is a bit of a slap in the face to you to say, hey, it's time to believe in this next generation, that they're going to be the next doctors, lawyers, teachers, leaders in this country. And we as adults have this responsibility, and praise God that He's given us this responsibility to invest in the next generation. They are the next wave of where you are right now. And so this is our opportunity to link arms, to not point and judge, but to say, hey, these are my people. These are the people that I'm going to invest in. I see what God is doing in their life. I have a front row seat. And I'm going to tell you, I keep using this word. It's a miracle. It is a miracle to see all that God has done in their life. I get emotional just thinking about it. Anyways, my name is Jacob, and I get to be the student pastor here, and I just never get tired of Baptism Sundays. If you've given to camp in any way, yeah. If you have given to the mission of Grace River or even specifically camp, I hope that that was a payoff for you. I hope that that moment right there was a payoff for you. That was not about show. That was about what Jesus has done in their hearts and in their lives. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to talk a little bit about the presence of Jesus. Because I think that we can hear stories like that and like the ones that were baptized here this morning, and it's easy to think, oh yeah, that's just something that happens at camp every year. But I've never experienced something that they have, and so there must be something magical about camp. I'm going to tell you what, I've been to Ohio whenever I'm not at church camp. It's not that great. It's a bottom tier state, if I'm going to be honest with you. Like, it's not that great of a state. If you're an Ohio State fan, you're a bandwagon, and there's something wrong with you. Like, those are also my least favorite fans. I do love Ohio for the sake of Camp Chautauqua, but that's about it. Ohio, other than that, I could leave it behind. It's not that great of a state. Like, God doesn't shine bigger and brighter in the state of Ohio. I need you to know that the things in the presence of Jesus that these students have experienced, you too can experience. He is not a God of Ohio. He's not the God of church camp. He is the God that gives you His presence, and you too can experience what these students have experienced, but it's going to require you to have an open heart and an open mind to the things of God, as these students were. And so I want to jump into it a little bit here this morning. But I want to share a story specifically from Scripture about the presence of Jesus that changed everything. And what I love about this story is that it's an ordinary story. There's no miracle in this story. There's not thousands and thousands of people that crowd Jesus and He heals the blind. Like, that's not what this story is all about. Like, this story actually takes place in the ordinary. I think that for so many of us, we look at camp as the extraordinary, and God can only work in the context of church camp. But I'm here to tell you, I want to remind you, He's the same God that these students experience. He's here this morning. He's speaking. The question is, are you listening? My challenge for you this morning, church, lean into the things of God. Lean into the presence of Jesus, because when you lean into the presence of Jesus with an open mind and an open heart, He will change you. Get ready. Buckle up. You're not going to be the same person that you were. You're going to be different on purpose and for a purpose. I don't know what it is that you believe about God. Maybe you come in today and you're a skeptic about this whole thing. I don't really care for church, Jesus. I'm just here to support maybe somebody that I love. Or maybe you were drugged here by your husband or your wife or somebody that loves you. And they're like, you're going to church with me today. And you're like, I don't want to, but for the sake of my sanity and you being mad at me, I guess I'll go with you. You're like, oh, whatever. You know, some of you, you're like, I've heard this. I have legit heard this. There are people that are scared to walk through the building of a church because they think that the building is going to catch on fire because of their sins If only you knew the sins that I have committed, there's no way that that church would welcome me in. There's no way that the God in heaven that you keep talking about would ever forgive me of my sins. Can I tell you that his presence is available to you this morning? He does not look at your past and judge you and say, hey, buddy, you're not qualified for my love and my grace and my forgiveness. No, I'm here to lean in this morning and tell you that his presence is available to you this morning. I'm going to have to scrap my entire message because we got to get out of here in a few minutes. So I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version, the ChatGPT summarize my sermon in 500 words type of a sermon because we don't have a whole lot of time, but praise God for it because we had a lot of baptisms. I love those kinds of Sundays. That's what it's all about. And so this story that I'm going to be sharing with you is the story of Mary and Martha, and it's in Luke 10. It's up on the screen. It says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he had taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner that she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? That sounds like an argument that I just had with my wife. She's like, Jacob, are you going to do anything around the house? I'm like, sorry, I'm sitting in the presence of Jesus. And she's like, I don't believe it. It's biblical, you know? I found it in Luke 10. That's what you can say to your spouse. Hopefully they don't yell at you. Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all of these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Today, I want to give you three truths about encountering the presence of Jesus, because again, the same God that these students experienced two weeks ago at camp is the same God that's in this room, and he's speaking the question. The question is, are you listening? Three truths here this morning. I'm going to breeze through these fairly quickly because I have less than 10 minutes. So we're going to go through this. The first one is that Jesus is available to everyone. Remember, in this story, like Jesus was welcomed into Martha's home. He's sitting there, Jay chilling on the recliner, watching Team USA lose in the World Cup. And sad. I thought this was our year. I guess we're going to have to wait until 2030. Pathetic. I thought we could definitely beat him, but we didn't. Sad day. But Jesus is there sitting in their house. And what is Martha doing? Martha is busy doing for God, and Mary is busy being in the presence of Jesus. But I want you to recognize and pay attention to the fact that Jesus makes himself available to both of them. The difference here is not where Jesus is. The difference is the posture of the two women. One is sitting in the presence of Jesus and one is busy doing things. But what's interesting about this passage of scripture is that she wasn't busy doing something that was bad. Like, she was doing something that was good. And I want to get to that in just a moment. But he made himself available to both of them. And time after time in scripture, we see that Jesus makes himself available to the religious and the rebellious, to the skeptic and the believer, to the broken, the overlooked, and the outsider. Time and time again, Jesus makes himself available. Again, I want to lean in for just a moment. I don't know what it is that you believe about God. Maybe you think that you're unworthy of his love, mercy, and forgiveness, but I want to remind you that he is here and he is for you. That our God that we are worshiping, the God that we are singing songs about, the God that we're talking about, is not some distant, dormant God that is ready to judge you and to throw a lightning bolt down at you. Like, this is a God that loves you in the middle of your mess. He sees you in the middle of your pain, and he chooses yet to still give you his presence. The invitation has not changed. He's available to everyone. And I think that for a lot of us, we know that Jesus is available, but the thing that's keeping us from him is our distraction. Which leads me to the second point here this morning. Verse 40 says that Martha was distracted. If you're taking notes, I want you to underline, highlight, put a booger next to that word, distracted. Martha was distracted by the big dinner that she was preparing. It doesn't say that Martha was doing anything that was sinful or rebellious. It just says that she was busy being distracted. And honestly, Isn't that one of the biggest struggles that we face today? Think about it in your life. Do you feel distracted from what God is trying to do in your life? And I'll be honest with you, some of you are doing some really good things, some things that are necessary. Like you got a job, you have kids, and you're working to provide for your kids. You're doing really good things, but listen to me. The good things in your life can become dangerous things when they keep you from the best thing. And the best thing is spending time with Jesus. So, it's a matter of your priorities. It's a matter of your priorities. Like, is Jesus the biggest priority of your life? Continue to do those good things. I'm not here to tell you that you need to stop taking care of your kids. Like, please, take care of your kids. Continue to provide for them. Continue to serve at the Salvation Army. Continue to ring the bell at Christmas time. Like, those are great things. But it's time for you to reevaluate your life a little bit if you're recognizing that you spending less time with Jesus is a factor of your life. It may mean that you need to adjust some things in your life. Again, I don't want us to be busy doing things for God that we miss actually being with Him. Both are important. But if we're just simply doing things and we're not being in the presence of Jesus, then I just think that we've missed it. People ask me every single year at camp, like, what makes camp so special? And I would tell you, God doesn't shine bigger and brighter at camp. He's the same God that's here this morning, and He wants to speak to you this morning. So if He's not bigger and better in the state of Ohio, we all know that, right? Missouri, He shines a little bit. Texas, actually. He shines biggest and best in Texas. I'm from Texas, so I might be a little bit biased, but I think that He's a little bit bigger and better in Texas. Right? Can we all agree on that? Okay, you guys are asleep. It is what it is. But if it's the same God, then what makes camp so different? Here's the answer. They're simply less distracted. For 5 days, students don't have their phones. They don't have social media. They don't have negative friendships texting them, encouraging them to do bad things. I know this might sound crazy to you. They don't have their phones for 5 days, and it's not because I'm a mean youth pastor. It's because I want them to experience what God has for them. I want them to lean into the presence of Jesus, and I have found as a student pastor that their phones are the reason that they're not quite leaning in. If I can help remove a barrier, I'm going to do it. And I can tell you, there are a bunch of students in this room. Go and ask any of them after service, did you miss your phone while you're at camp? They're all going to say no. They're all going to say no. There's some kids that were like really scared. They're like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do it. And I'm not here to tell you that you need to turn your phone off for 5 days. But I do want you to figure out how it is that you can lean into the presence of Jesus. How can you become more attentive to the things of God? Because when you lean into the presence of Jesus, it changes everything. But I fear that for many of us, we're very distracted. I got 4 minutes. We better breeze through this. Number three, surrender is where life begins. Jesus ends this passage by saying that there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. It will not be taken away from her. Mary understood that being with Jesus was the most important thing that you could do. I think that for so many of us, we spend a lot of our time and energy and efforts into chasing the American dream, trying to become the most successful version of ourselves. But I'm here to tell you, you are not created to become the most successful version of yourself. You were created to follow Jesus with everything inside of you. It's not about climbing the corporate ladder. What would it look like for you to lean into the presence of Jesus, to lean into the things of God, and to grow in your relationship with that being your focus? Mary understood this importance. Like, people can have all of the success in the world and still feel empty because the deepest need of our heart has never been success. It's always been Jesus. You will continue to live with that void in your heart until you give and you surround yourself with good, godly friends, and you're pursuing Jesus with everything inside of you. But there's a problem. Our sin has separated us from God. but God. Those two words, but God, changes everything. But God sent his only son, Jesus, to this earth to live a perfect and sinless life. And he died a brutal death on a cross that he did not deserve. And he resurrected 3 days later so that you and I could have a relationship with him. The question is, have you received this free gift of salvation? Have you not only entered into the presence of Jesus, are you aware of the presence of Jesus? Have you heard the gospel, but also have you responded to the gospel? Kylie's story I love so much because she says, I knew a lot about God, but I hadn't allowed him to transform my heart. And I fear that for some of you, that's your story. You know a lot of God. You've spent time around church. You know what to do. You know the things to say. And yet you have yet to give your life to Jesus. You've not yet allowed God to transform your heart. You have not received this free gift of salvation because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross and through his resurrection. And so, as I have 1 minute left, I feel like I'm breezing through this. I just don't want you guys to be late to brunch, okay, at the end of the day. But I do want to pause for just a moment. Have you allowed this to become personal? I think that for some of us, we see these baptisms and we're moved and it's like, man, God did some really amazing things at camp and I want something like that. Church, friends, you can experience what these students have experienced. Not only are you to hear the gospel, but you are to respond to the gospel by surrendering your life to him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If this is your moment where you would say, Jacob, I have yet to receive this free gift of salvation. I want what these students have. This is your moment. You don't have to clean your act up. You don't have to become the perfect version of yourself. Jesus just says to come. Believe and receive what has been done for you. If you're ready to receive that free gift of salvation, you can pray a prayer just like this in the silence of this moment. God, I admit that my sins have separated me from you. My sin is so great, but God, you sent your only son, Jesus, to come and to die and to pay the penalty of my sin so that I could enter into a relationship with you, and I choose to believe you and what you've done for me, and I confess you as the Lord of my life. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. If you just said yes to Jesus, it's the greatest decision that you could ever make in this life. And so let's give it up for those people. What I want you to do is to text the word begin to the number on the screen. When you text the word begin to the number on the screen, one of the pastors here at Grace River is going to follow up with you in the next 24 hours. And we want to give you some tangible next steps that you can take home so that you can grow in your relationship with Jesus. Friends, don't do it alone. Don't try to figure out this relationship with Jesus in your own power. Allow this church, allow these pastors, allow the friends in your life to help you. We want to link arms with you, and so the best way to do that is by letting us know by texting the word begin to the number on the screen. We had a lot of students that weren't even able to get baptized today, and so what we've decided to do is we are deciding to add another baptism 1 month from now on August 9th. If you just said yes to Jesus, I'm going to just tell you a little secret. This is your next step. This right here is your next step, is to get baptized. You don't have to have all of your questions answered. Every single baptism in Scripture happens immediately after salvation. And what we want to see for you is for you to take this next step. I know it's bright and you're like, I'm really intimidated by that. Trust me, it will change your life. There's something really sentimental and powerful about this moment, and I want that for you. If Jesus has changed your life and you have not yet taken this next step of baptism, I want to encourage you to do so August 9th. And then the other one that we're going to have is still going to happen on October 11th. Everybody got it? Amazing. I can't believe we finished only 2 minutes late. Give yourselves a hand. Way to go. If you would, stand.